the manners of society, adab of mu'asharat. This is an important word, mu'ashara, the society environment around us. In Islam has presented to us, has delivered to us the laws and the framework for everything in our lives and how to live our life and to pass our time in the life. And mu'ashara is living, social intercourse, meeting people, interaction with people, passing our life in the world, buying, selling, taking, giving, keeping connection and relationships with people, how to make the bond of relationships. All of this is mu'ashara, the society or environment, the people around us. And Islam has put mu'ashara, society, the rules of society, engagement of society, on a very high pedestal. It has a very high importance, level of importance, and it is an important subject and an essential part of life that we need to understand. And in accordance to worship, it is also important, because this is worship. And also to please Allah, this is important. And for the hereafter, success in the hereafter, it's also essential. And to gain reward, mu'asharat, how to do mu'asharat is essential. And to get qurb of Allah, mu'asharat, to live in society correctly is also important. In other words, mu'asharat, to live in society correctly, opens the doors for success in every aspect of Islam. But it is sad, it is very sad, that we don't have understanding of mu'asharat, of society and interaction of society. This ibadah that we have in our heads, and that's all for us, that's enough for us, we think that's worship, physical worship. But if we look correctly, then mu'asharat, living in society correctly, engaging with people correctly, fulfilling the rights correctly of society, this is ibadah, this is worship. And within this, if we practice the adab of mu'asharat correctly, then within seconds we can reach to the heights of iman. We can attain the nearness of Allah. A sinner who is the worst of sinners, he can be forgiven for all of his sins, because this is a unique form of worship to fulfill the rights of society. This is huququllah, this is the right of Allah and the right of the people around us. And in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also on haqqul ibad, which are the rights of society around us, there are many events that prove this. The Allah Ta'ala says, maybe you have broken my rights and that is an issue that I will forgive. But the rights of society, if you break them, it is not easy to attain forgiveness for that. But we don't have importance for this in our minds. We don't put any emphasis on this in our minds. We don't even know the meaning of the adab e mu'asharat in Islam. We have no ta'leem for this. We have no education for this. We have no know-how and awareness lessons for this. And we don't consider this as an important subject for us. Okay, let me learn ilm, knowledge, called dini ilm, ilmiyat. I go and I learn something or I read something. But on this topic, we've never thought that. Let me delve into this topic. Every child, baby, teen, middle-aged man, elder-aged person has to have the knowledge of adab al-ma'asharat, the rights of society around us and how to fulfill them. And we'll be asked on the Day of Judgment about this. The haq, the rights of the people, creatures around us. Allah Ta'ala has created us as human beings. And Allah Ta'ala has created everything in the world for us. Everything in the universe that Allah Ta'ala has made, whether it is individual, collective, animal, creatures, nature, vegetation, everything is linked to the human being. Everything has been created for the human being. So if Allah Ta'ala has created the whole world, the earth that we live in, and everything, every part of nature and creatures has a link with the human being, then there's a haq, a right on that animal or creature or nature. If you rear a cat, if you have a cat at home, then there are rights of that cat upon you. If you don't fulfill the rights on that cat, you will be asked on the Day of Judgment. Let's take an animal. There's a right, every animal in the world has a right upon us. Whatever creature, whatever form of vegetation or creation has a right that we have to fulfill. And there were animals that used to complain. And they used to come to the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The camel came and complained that my owner puts too much on my back. And then another animal would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say that this person, he's hitting me or putting a burden on me. There are haqooq on the animals that we have to fulfill. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has presented to us or delivered to us a beautiful hadith. And listen to this carefully. Listen to this carefully. Why? Because this subject of fulfilling the rights of everything around us. Do you know what ilm this is? Do you know what this subject is? What does this touch? This right, the rights of society and environment around us that we have to fulfill. They touch on tasawwuf. This is called ilmu tasawwuf, or Sufism as we know today. This is the line of the Sufis. And close to the Sufi, the person who is doing his rectification, then he is very cautious on fulfilling the rights, the haqq. He cannot be a Sufi if he doesn't sacrifice his desires for others or fulfill the rights of others. And through that he attains the nearness of Allah. And this is where you get these ulum from the Sufis. They have kitabs, beautiful kitabs. They don't open the kitabs, they transfer the knowledge from heart to heart. From their eyesight, from their vision, and from their heart, they communicate, share, and transfer over this ilm. And alhamdulillah, by seeing this and hearing this, then shu'ur and akal and intellect comes into your mind that how should I live in society? How should I live in society? So this is a very famous hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that every right has to be fulfilled. Give the rights that are due to everyone. This is a small hadith. Now we have to see that whose rights are due upon me? Whose rights are due? And whose rights do I have to fulfill? And whoever's rights I have to fulfill, I need to deliver the rights to them properly. Give them their rights that are due. Now we live in Ma'ashara, in society. Our life starts from home. Then we go out into the outdoors, into the environment. We have friends, shop, buying, business, selling, giving, wife, children, home, everything. So let's start from home first. Let's start from home. Allahu Akbar. Allah is great. So it's a bit shameful for me to say this, but we will see even in the homes that how are we fulfilling the rights? What haq am I giving to the children? What rights am I giving to the wife? What rights am I giving to the children? What rights am I giving to the relatives? Let's go into the home of a believer, and then we will see how big a haji is. How many umrahs has he done? How great an abid is? How many liters of zamzam has he drank? How many dates has he eaten? First purify yourself inside, brothers. This is ibadat. Giving the rights to society. Don't just emphasize on physical worship. It's not just that. This is the way, the route to the pleasure of Allah. How? You have to think that, may I not break anybody's rights. Wherever I am, at home or in the world, out in the streets, in the environment, I shouldn't break anyone's rights. And you'll be light as a feather on the day of judgment. You'll have no one's rights that are broken. You haven't sworn at anyone. You haven't criticized anyone. You haven't said bad to anyone. You are so nice to everyone. And you don't have to ask anyone for forgiveness. You don't have to get rid of your malice, your envy, your jealousy, your hatred. Until and unless, if I don't get rid of these internal maladies, and I don't fulfill the rights of society, all of the effort and sweat I've spent on physical worship will go down the drain. Brothers, it will be the greatest court ever that has existed, the court of Allah. Allah will say, do you know how much luggage you brought? Call those people that you broke their rights. They'll say, Allah, he swore at me. He used to gossip against me. He used to oppress me. All of them will be there. Your children, your wife, your relatives, your friends, people you knew, the neighbors, people who live in your country, in your village, in your town. All of them will line up. Animals, oh, he was my owner. He didn't feed me on time. There will be no differentiation. Whoever's haq I have to fulfill. If only when I wake up in the morning, I think, whose rights do I have to fulfill today? Whose rights do I have to fulfill today? Think when you get up in the morning. Then you become the Sufi. And this is tasawwuf. This is tasawwuf. And tasawwuf covers the rights of society and the world and nature and vegetation. Everything around us. And the Sufi first has to ask himself one question in the morning. Whose rights do I need to fulfill today? If I haven't fulfilled their rights, then what do I do? First fulfill his right. That's it. And the person who's passed away and his right is there as a debt on your head, and you can't find that person, you can't seek that person, then there's a tariqah, there's a method. Then in abundance do istighfar for that person. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us the duas. Allah, send your mercies on him. Allah, forgive him. Allah, take some of my deeds and give them to him. Allah, can't give him nothing on the day of judgment. Allah will be finished. All your life do duas for him. The people whose rights you broke, who you oppressed, who you didn't mete out justice to, who you swore at, or you criticized him, or backbited him, and he's gone away from your reach, you can't find him, or he's passed away, then the tariqah, the method, Rasulullah SAW taught us that be hopeful by doing the du'as and asking Allah for the forgiveness, then be hopeful Allah Ta'ala will be merciful to you. Allah will say, okay, fine, you had regret, you had remorse, you did a lot of du'a for that person, and you said a lot of good things, so you will be forgiven. So fulfill the rights of everything. Even the rights that are due upon myself, I have to fulfill. There was a sahabi, companion of Rasulullah, and Hazrat Abdullah bin Abraz, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And Abdullah was his son, and they are both great sahabi.
His father and son, both Sahabi, both companions. So Abdullah, he got married, and the father, you know, just like the person gets married. And after getting married, life continued. And the father, he was fond of his the daughter-in-law. She was a good daughter-in-law. And the father-in-law, he used to look after his daughter-in-law and think good of her and hold her as beloved like a person should love his daughter-in-law. And our society is different. First, dhulam done by the parents is on the in-law, on the daughter-in-law. She comes from another home, from another family. And soon as he comes to your home, then you start creating ajeeb, weird connections, and oppression starts from the husband's parents and the family. There's so much dhulam and oppression in our ma'ashara today that if we understand the story of these daughters of the women, if we go to the stories that how daughters, when they get married, they go to another home, how much dhulam and oppression is done against them. That the newlywed comes, the bride comes, gets married to the husband, and his parents or his family, they criticize her, oppress her. They lose their total dignity and shame. But Allah is Kareem, Allah is merciful. He's got the greatest court. Allah Ta'ala listens to the oppressed. He sees, He's watching. He's watching. He will grab. So this Sahabi, and he used to take care of his daughter-in-law and give her due care and attention and love. And once he asked his daughter-in-law out of love, that, are you okay? Are you fine? How are you? Are you happy? And is your situation with your husband okay? My son, is your relationship, how is Abdullah, my son, with you? Then she, mashallah, was a high status woman. She wasn't some low status, low grade woman. She gave a beautiful answer to her father-in-law. She said that he is a good man. He's a very good man, my husband. She praised her husband. He does a lot of ibadah. He worships a lot. He's pious. He does a lot of ibadah. But there's one deficiency. But he doesn't know that, where's my bed? Where are my clothes? What's the color of my clothes? He doesn't know that, where do I sleep? And she made apparent that he doesn't fulfill her rights. And he was shocked. The father-in-law, out of shock, he was shocked about his son, this news he was getting, Hazrat Abdullah bin Ras, radiallahu anhu. And he also did ibadat. He also used to worship, and he was a great, high-grade sahabi. And mashallah, he was paying attention, a lot of effort into worship. And she said that he fasts during the day and recites the Quran during the night. And mashallah, he was a sahabi and companion. He had passion, desire to worship, to do ibadat. But the situation was a little bit different. So the father, Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he said, this situation is not good. You are telling me, my daughter-in-law, and the word of Haqq came into his mind, the fulfilling of the rights. So he went straight to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said that this is the situation with Abdullah. My daughter-in-law has told me this. Please, you say something. And he said, what is the situation? These is the words I asked my daughter-in-law. What's the situation with my son? Is everything okay? Your relationship? And she gave me this answer. Rasulullah SAW said, send her here. In the hadith is stated, when Abdullah bin Aras came, and the sketch is there in the hadith, the Holy Prophet SAW, he put his himself in front and put the two parties opposite. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So Rasulullah is in between. The court is there, present, existent, and the husband and wife there. Abdullah, how is your life? He said, mashallah, good, Rasulullah. What do you do? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the day I fast, in the night I recite the Quran. Mashallah, that's good. And your wife, how are you with your wife? He's quiet, silent. Then Rasulullah SAW asked to Hazrat Abdullah, this is something to hear. Do you know that your life has a haq upon you, your own body has a haq upon you, and your eye has a right upon you, your wife has a right upon you, and your guests have a right upon you? Do you know this? Every person who has a right upon you fulfill the rights. This is the words of the hadith. Oh, subhanallah. In this hadith is the total sketch of the adab, the rights of society. In this hadith. Fulfill the rights of the people. The eye, look at your eye. Is it tired? Look at your body. Not that, oh, this eye is hurting and I keep using the other eye. How much do I use it? Oh, we use our eyes for the evil, to look at evil. But the eyes should be used for ibadat, and we should even use the eyes for worship so much that they swell or the disease comes. This is the hukam, that even for worship, don't utilize your body so much that your body starts to crack, becomes weak and breaks down and gets ill. But here, we use our bodies for evil or bad things. So tomorrow our own body, our eyes, our organs, our hands, our feet, they will complain to Allah. He did not give us the rights. Allah, He stretched us to the limit. He used to give us pain. He used to give us burden. He used to do dhulm on His own body. He used to do dhulm, His oppression. This is dhulm on the body. That to utilize your body in an incorrect way. If there's no balance, if you run after just making money, it's our body, fine, you can do what you want, no problem. I'll sleep half an hour and I'll work 23 hours. Nothing is mine. This is the trust that Allah gave to me. Allah gave me this body as a trust. It's a right I have to fulfill. Remember this. Don't say it's my body, it's my brain, I'll do what I want. No, Allah said, you can't pray as you want. You can't fast as you want. Rasulullah said, how many fasts do you keep? I keep the fast every day. You can't fast every day. How much Quran do you read? I read so much. You can't read this much too much. How many fasts do you keep? You can't keep this many fasts. You have to fulfill the rights. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is explaining that you can't do this. You've gone into excess. You have to do balance. You have to have balance. If you read Quran, read this much, not more than this. If you keep fast, this much, not more than this. So if we look at our body and our eyes and our organs, and if we utilize them in kharafat, now I just spoke about ibadat, if the body and our organs are restricted in how much ibadah they can do, then we have to fulfill the rights of the people around us. If somebody's ill, Allah Ta'ala says that there's an excuse. You don't have to go to Jamaat Salah in Masjid. I forgive you because you have to look after your body. That's more important in that time. That's priority. But what do the thieves do? The people who show off, you want to show other people that, no. Oh, Salah is important. I've got to get to the Masjid. My Jamaat is going to go. This is showing off. This is pride. Allah Ta'ala said, I've made the laws. Don't break my law and make up your own laws. What kind of person are you? A worshipper? You think? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you can't keep fast every day. He gave a limit of fasting. He gave the limit that a high class person who's doing ibadat, keep one fast one day and the next day don't fast. Then fast the next day, then the next day don't fast. It's a long hadith. If I start giving the tafsir of this, the subject will go on a tangent. Too long. You can't read Quran all day long. I read 10 juz a day. No. Read 3 complete Qurans in the month and not more than that. That makes 3 juz a day. Because your body has a right upon you. If you just run after physical worship, then what rights will you give to your wife? Who will earn for the home, for the family? Who will provide for the children? Why do you think you are pious and an upright, solid person? That you are just doing physical ibadah and you have no awareness of the people around you in your home, in your family? So this is the adab-e-mu'ashara. Don't just run after one thing. And when we start working night and day, earning, and the eyes are red, they're swollen, the fingers are swollen, the brain is sapped, and totally devoid of any other thoughts, astaghfirullah. We have to have the balance in life, my brothers. Ibadat. This is worship. These are the rights I have to give to the people in society. And the rights due to Allah. As Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu, in a hadith, a beautiful hadith of his that comes to my mind, about adabul mu'ashara, the rights of society. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, O Abu Ayyub, do you know, shall I tell you today such a charity, sadaqah? Shall I not tell you today such a sadaqah, a charity that to your Rabb and to your Rasul is very pleasant, and they love it. Your Rabb Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam love this action of sadaqah so much indeed. And this sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, please, O Prophet of Allah, please tell me for the sake of my parents, please tell me, what is this sadaqah that you are so pleased with and Allah is so pleased with? Now listen, what is this sadaqah? How high, great status Allah Ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given to this action I'm about to mention. And how much reward? What is this sadaqah? Nothing. Adabul Mu'ashara. Rights of society, and everyone can do it. Every one of them. What is the hal of the adab today? That is the reason why today our hal as an ummah. Let's look. Every home, fighting, quarrels, disputes, relatives, friends fighting. And what did Rasulullah say is the sadaqah that we must do? Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah said, the best sadaqah, shall I tell you? Oh Abu Ayyub, what is that sadaqah? What is that practice? That I love and Allah loves. That when you see that somebody at some place, there's a problem, there's fasad, and there's enmity, then you go and break and heal that enmity. You heal that relationship. If you see that two parties are fighting against each other, there's fasad, quarrel, dispute, and they hate each other, then you do one thing, go and bring those two parties together. Allah and His Rasul love this sadaqah. Ah, subhanallah. The whole society is full of disputes and fights and quarrels and disasters. We run after salah, ibadat and fasting, etc. What a great ibadah. Tell me one place today in the world which house there's no fasad. Society, villages, shops, business, workplaces, in our masjids there's fasad. Amongst the brothers there's fasad. In our countries and our localities there's fasad. People hate each other. 3 days, two men can't sit with each other. And they start criticizing each other. They backbite against each other. So what do we have to do from this hadith? We need to go and mend the relationships. And what do? We go, we hear one brother say something, we go to the other person. Do you know he said this? We create facade and disputes and gossip mongering. 90% divorces, arguments, problems, difficulties in families, between relationships. Muslims, we are Muslims. Mu'ashara, we have mu'ashara. Allahu Akbar, what a great ibadah. Rasulullah said, oh my sahabi Abu Yub, do you know the best sadqa that Allah and His Rasul loves? To mend the broken relationships. To mend the fences of broken relationships. And this is from Sufism, we learn this. My friends, from the Darsul Hadith, when a Muslim sees with his eyes this problem, then his eyes should open. Subhanallah, is this the human being? Is this what he is doing? Such he is sacrificing his time and efforts. That's why I said that with your sheikh, spend time with the sheikh. Because you know, you these lessons I'm giving you today, you don't just learn them, oh come on, you are Khalifa today, you're Khalifa and he's sitting there, and then after the person who's given Khilafat, he doesn't know how to practice, nor does the Khalifa. To become a human being, spend time in the Khanqa, pick up the slippers of the Sheikh, become the Khadim, serve the Khanqa, sit down, listen, understand, rectify yourself, your heart, not for 1-2 months, for 30, 40 years, all life, decades, people, students have spent their time to learn this lesson of adab, and that's called tasawwuf, the science of rectification. And that person who's worked hard, who's rectified his heart and who's washed his heart and purified himself, he has the right. He can say, I've done tazkiyah and I've reached to a certain station and level and I'm a student of tazkiyah and tafsir and tasawwuf. From going to one city to another city, you haven't traveled. You haven't gone from one village to another village. And you don't have the time to spend in the feet of the friend of Allah to learn, to do his khidmat, to learn. Three things have been explained about the company of the wali of Allah, the sheikh. That's when we become proper human beings and the proper students. Itiqad with the sheikh. Number one, itiqad of the sheikh. Number two, adab, manners. And three, khidmat and atat. Four things here. Three. So you get three rewards. Allah's rahmah, mercy. Allah's fazl, blessings. And Allah Ta'ala's marifat, nearness, you will attain if you have these four connections with your sheikh. Pick up the book, pick up the kitabs. I'm not taking these points out of my pocket and telling you. Have experience, have friendship with the wali of Allah and strengthen these three things. This is rabta sheikh, connection with the sheikh. When you create a link, a connection with the sheikh, and you want to learn this subject and graduate with this subject, adab-e-mu'asharat, you want to get lessons of how to become a true human being, fulfilling the rights, I swear by Allah, you will walk on every street anyway. Shall I serve someone? Shall I help someone? How can I be useful to someone? Does someone need a loan? Shall I give some money to someone? I can't hear, I don't want to see anyone in pain and difficulty. When you go on a journey, you go on the journey because I want to mend the broken fences. And here, you leave your children and wife at home, I'm going on jamaat, I have to give da'wah, and I want to do this and that. No. And the wife, she's ill. And the children, they're hungry. Or they're pain-stricken, they're desperate for the father, but he wants to go and give the benefit to the people in the masjid. Allahu Akbar. Learn deen. Learn deen. And today, to learn the deen, we have a weird method. A weird method. We have forgotten Darul Uloom, we've forgotten the Mufti Hazrat, the lessons, the teachings, and we have one Mufti today. Whichever masala you want, open that internet and type into that and everyone becomes an alim. Everyone's a mufti. Internet. Oh, let's do a search. Oh, I've seen this beyond. The whole internet full of kharafat, full of sins, full of negative. You don't even know if the person's speaking the truth or not. Oh, no. I saw on the internet, on this website, this sheikh, this person said this. This person said, oh, friends of Allah, those people who spent 16, 18 years in Darul Ulooms, who have swept them, cleaned them, sat at night, said, Qala, Qala, Rasulullah, if you have passion and desire, you want to become a person of ilm, a mufti, then spend time in the institution. Spend your life there in Darul Uloom. Learn the education. Then you'll realize what is ilm. But no. I want to earn money. Dunya, status. I have to have a status. And I'm sitting there on the internet and I'm thinking I'm gaining knowledge. How can this be? How can you learn knowledge like this? Remotely. My friends, oh, I went to the internet, I searched this, this alim said this, this mufti said this. Never give the proofs from the internet. If you want to learn and hear, sit and give company to a famous faqih, jurist and mufti and present the request. Hazrat, this is my masala. And if you have to travel 10 miles, then seek the scholar to learn face to face, physically, and appreciate them. Value the ulama ikram. They spent their lives, they sweated. to learn. They have the masail, the experience, the physical experience. They didn't run after dunya. They could have earned dunya. They could have learned the knowledge of the world. And which direction did they put their bodies and lives towards? Ilm. Knowledge. And with the ilm, then they did tazkiyah. After they learned knowledge, the scholar, the alim, then he went to the khanqah. He had a connection with the sheikh, with the waliwala. Then he did tazkiyah. He did tafsi of his heart. Then when you ask that person the masala, then you know whose right is what and whose right is what. Understand? So Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, remember that I have told you that sadaqah which is the best of sadaqah, which is preferred and pleased. Allah and His Rasul love this sadaqah. What is that sadaqah? That when you see a broken heart, where you see arguments, disputes, quarrels between two opposing parties, go and mend that broken relationship. In the hadith is stated that when you do the sulah, when you mend the broken relationship, and this is hadith, that when a person goes to two parties who are fighting each other, arguing, and he mends that broken relationship, and he comes back, listen to the reward. When he comes back, then wherever, whatever of his problems in life that were there, Allah Ta'ala fulfills all of his issues and makes them easy for him in the life. Tell me any ibadat, can you show me a prayer, salah, that will give you this guarantee? Whatever problem, difficulty you got, Allah Ta'ala says, I say straightway, I order to the creatures of the world that solve his problems right now. Because he solved the problems of my makhluk. And Allah Ta'ala says that whatever he went and said and spent his effort and energy and words to mend that broken relationship, to finish off that fire and that argument and the quarreling, whatever words he uttered from his lips to mend that broken relationship, every word, every letter, Allah says, for every letter, I will give him the reward of freeing a slave. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Allah so great. In the third reward, it is stated that now you came 10 miles, 15 miles, you left home, you made effort, you worked hard, you strived on this mission, you went so far to meet the two opposing parties. Ah, subhanAllah, what a great hadith. When you hear, ah, there's an argument, I've heard that these two people in London, okay, and you leave your house to please Allah, and you had the power, you had the capacity, the influence, capabilities, negotiation skills, subhanAllah, you've gone into ibadat. No. Oh, I'll have to leave work today, I won't have profit, I won't be able to do dhikr today, I have to travel this far. Islam doesn't say this. No, don't look at this. Look at society. Islam looks at society. This is great worship. Great. When a person embarks on a journey, he leaves home, he goes on a journey. The third reward, when he leaves home, this is ibadat. When he leaves home for this worship, when he does prostration and ruku, this prostration ruku, to mend the broken relationship, Allah says, I'm so pleased. All of the sins that you've committed before, I forgive them. So to mend the two broken hearts, to meet and mend the broken relationship between two opposing parties, Allahu Akbar. Oh, you know he said this to you, you know he said that to you, because then the fight starts, the quarrel starts, the war starts, the battle starts, mosques get broken down, the Darul Uloom start breaking down, ulama, scholars start to have fighting and quarreling and disputes amongst them, and families and relatives, with shaitan, the mission of shaitan, what does he do? He puts two people in opposition against each other. Always, when there are two people fighting, straight away understand the third is shaitan. A shaitan is the one who is the worst, because shaitan instills the gossips and the envy and the hatred and jealousy between the two hearts, my friends. But brothers, this is, if you want to have this ibadat, you'll get this from the khanqahs. You will learn this from the khanqahs. So tomorrow on the day of judgment, let me tell you, this ilm, the prostration, ruku, sajda, praying to Allah, alhamdulillah, this is a great tug. But only will we get reward for this if we fulfill the rights of society. Allah says that I will distribute all of your worship to the people who you opposed and oppressed, because I wanted the rights of society. Look at your home. Fulfill the right of your wife, of your children, of your relatives. At that standard, whoever's got rights upon you, fulfill the rights. Not that you fulfill the rights of the wife and you forget your mother, or you fulfill the rights of the mother, you forget your wife. You cannot give priority to anyone. If Allah Ta'ala says to the husband, you fulfill the rights of the wife, she has to do vice versa. If it's said like this, that the best person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that person whose wife is pleased with him. And here, what is said here, that if somebody, Allah Ta'ala's Rasul said, if I would ever give permission to someone to prostrate to another human being, I would tell the wife to prostrate to the husband. If I was to give that haq, look at the two opposing haqq here, and do we fulfill them? Look at our society today. We talk about ourselves, what I've done. Oh, you haven't given my rights, wife. You haven't done this. But I have to think, what are my rights on you, my wife? What is it I haven't given to you? What is my right upon you? We say that you have to do this for me. You haven't served me. You haven't thought about me. But let me go the other way and say, have you reminded yourself what are the rights that you have to fulfill for her? Or for the people around you? We go upside down. Oh, you haven't given me my haq. You haven't given my rights. You haven't fulfilled what I needed. You say this to people around you in the world. No. Do and think, what do you need to do for the other people? So have focus. Pay attention to this ibadat, worship of the manners, the rights of society. May Allah Ta'ala take us on umrah and hajj and allow us to prostrate. But there should be a balance. That am I fulfilling this right? The society that I'm living in? Are the people around me happy? Are my neighbors happy with me? To this extent, that if you are praising your neighbor, you're sitting in the aeroplane, and after sitting in the aeroplane, the person who's next to you, he is your neighbor, and he's got the rights of the neighbor as well upon you. So don't think that who's sitting next to me, Hindu, Sikh, what religion, doesn't matter what religion that person, what belief he has or she has, you have to fulfill the rights of that neighbor of yours in the plane. You've got food, and your neighbor in the plane hasn't got no food. You don't say, who are you? Are you Deobandi? Are you Brelvi? Are you Ahl Hadith? Are you this? Then I'll give you food if you're the same as me. Astaghfirullah ta'ala min kulli rabbin. Astaghfirullah ta'ala rabbi min kulli dhamin wa tubalay. Allah ta'ala says, don't ask, are you a Jew? Are you a Christian? Are you a Muslim? A Sikh? Another atheist? No. He's sitting next to you on the plane, and the right of the neighbor is what? That you eat and make him hungry? No. The right is let him have the food and you stay hungry. And then when you give the food, you'll say, what is your religion? You'll say, Islam. You'll say, please teach me Islam. I want to become the Muslim. I want to become Muslim. This is the story of Islam. This is the tariqa of living our lives in the world. Islam makes the human beings. Islam teaches us human being rights. It teaches us respect and regard between human beings. The total respect and sharafat is contained within Islam. And it's we who have destroyed it. And we've become destroyed at the same time. Allah give me the tawfiq. And you brothers the tawfiq. That we can practice on this. Recite the Durood Sharif.